Hey, this is the fifth episode of 1F Jeff. Jeff is, he's vacationing in Ireland right now, so he's asked me to do the introduction for this episode. My name is Bing Bong, and Jeff is honestly one of the most charming, intelligent, well-mannered, insightful, and amazing people I know. It's honestly the thrill of my life to be on his podcast, even if it's just like this brief introduction. So, unfortunately, Jeff didn't really have time to edit another interview before he left for Ireland. So what follows is a recording of a story he told at the Bowery Poetry Club in New York City back in 2014. It's called My First 24 Hours in Mexico. And I think it's the best story ever told, and I think you will too. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And if you write a review, maybe mention how much you like Bing Bong so I can be on the show again.
Bing Bong.
Anyway, Jeff wanted me to thank you for listening and for being here, and he hopes you enjoy listening to this story as much as he enjoyed telling it.
Yeah. Let me know if you want a different take. More awkward, less hesitant, or one where Bing Bong clearly idolizes Jeff a little too much.
Bing Bong.
The next person up is Jeff Taylor. Woo! Also, two stories actually. I love Jeff's honesty. He's got incredibly unapologetic and just like a real spice for life. So thank you.
Like to use the restroom at this point. Might be a good time to get a drink or go to the restroom. All right. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
My parents are here, so they're over here. They said they were going to sit by the door so they could escape if I tried to embarrass them. But they're not sitting by the door because the door is right here. So. Actually, my mom said a couple days ago, she said, what are you going to tell a story about? And I said, it's a story you haven't heard. And she said, you know, I used to want to know everything you kids did. And then as I got older, I realized I don't want to know everything you kids did. So I hope this isn't one of those stories. So this was about 5 years ago. One of my films had gotten into a film festival in Mexico, a very big film festival. So I had to go. So I took the flight from LaGuardia, transferred in Dallas, to Guanajuato, Mexico. Has anybody been to San Miguel? Can anybody speak Spanish?
Yes. Sí.
Of course. I cannot speak Spanish. Bueno, that's all I got. It's an important fact to remember with this story. Also, anybody have any allergies to dogs or cats? Yes. Yes? Great. You can relate. Sorry. Those are two big important facts to remember about this story. So I get a flight from LaGuardia to Dallas, to San Miguel, Guanajuato, and the flight from LaGuardia is delayed because of a cracked windshield on the airplane, which is much better than most of the delays you get. We were delayed for 2 hours with a cracked windshield, and usually it's just technical delays, and that terrifies me. I'm not a good flyer. So it was a cracked windshield. That made sense to me. So we waited for 2 hours. 2 hours, I tried to pan on my Spanish, but it didn't work out. Finally, we take off, and I ask the flight attendant while we're in the air, am I going to make my connection to Guanajuato Airport? And she says, yes, of course you will, of course you will. And I didn't ask about my luggage. So when I got to Guanajuato Airport, my luggage wasn't there. And so I went to the counter, the flight attendant at the counter, the people at the counter, and I asked them where my luggage was, and they said, well, it'll probably be on the next flight that comes in from Dallas. And I said, when's that next flight come in? And they said, oh, it comes in about 6 hours. But we'll send it to you when it comes in. We can send it to wherever you are. And San Miguel is about an hour and a half from Guanajuato Airport. And it's in Mexico. I mean, even in America, I wouldn't trust the airlines to send my luggage to me. But I just wasn't comfortable with that. I had all my stuff. I wasn't prepared for lost luggage. So I said, well, I'll just wait at the airport for 6 hours. I'd never been to Mexico before, and I don't speak Spanish well. So I waited at the airport for 6 hours, and I waited. I got to know the airport very well. There was some good, decent food. There were some problems. I called the woman. The festival was putting me up with a woman. Put everybody in the festival. They all got put up with somebody who was volunteering to let them stay, let a filmmaker stay in their house. And I was supposed to stay with a woman named Mercedes. And so I called her to say, I'm going to be late. And my flight's been delayed. I'm waiting for the luggage, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, okay, yada, yada. So I waited for 6 hours, kind of wandered around the airport, inside, outside. It's a very small airport. I got to know it better than most people probably ever want to know it. So I waited and I waited, and I kept going to the counter to ask if my luggage was definitely going to arrive, and all they could say was it was probably going to be here on the next flight. That's fine. So, of course, the flight from Dallas came in 2 hours late, so I had spent 8 hours at the airport. So now it's 10:30, and my luggage does come in on the plane, which is great. And I get my luggage, and I get a taxi to San Miguel. So this is good, right? I've been up for a long time. I'm a little frazzled. So we get in the taxi. And the taxi is not a taxi. It's like a guy with a car, right? It's supposed to take an hour and a half to get to San Miguel. That's an important fact as well. And I can't speak Spanish, as I've said. So I get in the taxi, and the taxi driver doesn't speak English much at all, so there's not much to say. And I'm frazzled. I'm not doing well. I'm tired. I'm just like... So the woman who I'm staying with just told me to meet her at the opening night party, which was a swinging 60s shagadelic party. I didn't have my 60s gear on. It was in my luggage, and I didn't have time to change. But she told me to meet her there, so the taxi driver... This was the most harrowing taxi drive of my entire life. This guy had one hand on the wheel, one hand on his iPhone, texting the entire time, which was also shifting gears at the same time. And I looked at the speedometer just a few times, and it was like well over 80 miles an hour. And it's not kilometers per hour, because I know, as in Mexico, I looked at it twice, and I saw it at miles per hour, and so it's... I knew there would be some people who would be like, oh, it's probably 200 miles per hour. I don't know what kilometers per hour. It's probably like 2,000 or... So it was terrifying. We're going through these dark streets. It's pitch black. There's no lights, and he's just flying. And then we get to the curvy part, and the curvy part, there's no lights at all. He's just flying. He's like not even paying attention, just la-di-da. I actually closed my eyes for most of this because I was so terrified. I was convinced, like, as long as he doesn't want to die, we're good. I've been on some terrifying car rides, and this was... So, anyway, we made the hour and 30-minute trip, according to Google Maps, in about 40 minutes. True story. So he drops me off and my luggage at the venue where the opening night party was going on. And the opening night party is a big to-do, right? But I couldn't get in. I go to the front door, and I have my ticket and my luggage. I'm supposed to meet my person I'm staying with here. And they say, oh, it's full up. It's totally full in broken English. And they say, we can't let you in. And I'm like, but I'm supposed to meet the person that I'm staying with, in Mexico here. I don't know anybody in Mexico. My cell phone, by the way, another important fact, I had a cell phone, did not work in Mexico. So that was not, yeah. So doesn't let me in. So I just go back out to the street. It's 11 o'clock at night or so. I haven't slept for a long time, starving, and tired. Don't know what I'm going to do. Don't know how to get in touch with anybody. Don't know what. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I would have called you guys mom and dad, but I didn't have my cell phone. So I waited for about 15 minutes, and 15 minutes I typed my name, Jeff. And I'm like, oh, it's a British accent. And lo and behold, it's Mercedes, the woman I'm supposed to stay with like four of her friends. And they are loaded, stumbling down the street. And I'm just happy to see him at this point because I'm like, oh, I have a place to stay. I'm allergic to cats and dogs. Remember that. So we go. I tell them I couldn't get into the party, right? And they're like, oh, no, we can get in. So they try to get in, and they can't get in. But then somebody with their party knows a way in the back and can get in. So we break into the party. We squeeze between the fence and they throw my luggage over the top of the fence. But I'm like, whatever. I'm just, like, happy to have my luggage at all at that point. So so we actually get into the party, and the party's great, you know. The food was pretty much gone at that point, but I got a scotch, and they gave me a scotch in, like, an orange juice glass. Full up. I think I had two of those. And I haven't eaten really much, and I hadn't slept much, so I, yeah. So the rest of this may just be all untrue. So, but I had a really good time for a little while. Then the party wound down, and I needed to eat something, and I needed desperately to sleep. It's been now maybe 20 hours since I've slept. And I repeatedly try to emphasize to woman, Mercedes, thank you, car. That I'm very hungry and I'd really like to sleep. And they're on their own little. They're beyond wasted now because the booze is just flying at this party, and they're just. So it's just, I'm kind of like just preaching to nothing. So finally, we all leave because they all kick us out. And I'm like, can we go get some food now? Because I'm famished. And I could sleep too. And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get some food. We're going to go to this other bar first. I'm not in control. There's four other people with her, so I don't really have much of a... And then, for some reason, here it is, it occurs to me to say, hey, Mercedes, do you have any dogs? The dog allergy thing I mentioned earlier, coming back. And she says, yeah, I have three. And I'm like, so do they sleep in the room that you're going to put me up in? She's like, yeah, they usually sleep on the bed there. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, you know, I'm really allergic to dogs. I probably should have mentioned that before. And she's like, oh, you'll be fine. I don't know. You go through the allergies, like allergy deniers. Allergies are real, everyone. They're real and they're serious and it's bad. You know, we have different levels of them, but I'm tired of this allergy denial stuff. One thing you can take away from this: people tell you they have allergies, they've got allergies. Okay, thank you. Public service announcement. So then, one of the people she's with actually says, hey man, it'll be cool. Just roll with it. These people are all very drunk. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just roll with it. Yeah. And now I realize I have no place to sleep. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. Dog allergies are, you know, I'm pretty allergic. So three dogs sleeping in a bed that I'm about to sleep in, I'm going to die, right? I'm going to be dead by the end of the night. I'm going to go outside and sleep on the lawn. So I'm kind of like, okay, it's probably 3 in the morning now. I'm a little pretty drunk. I'm starving. Haven't slept for 24 hours. And I'm with a group of drunken people who don't seem to have any concern for my well-being. So we go to this next club. We took a van. Somebody had a van. And we put a big white van. And we put my luggage in the back of this van. The whole time I'm towing this luggage with me. And we kept it in the back of the van, which was nice because I was like worried about the luggage because what had happened earlier at the airport, so I was like very protective of the luggage. So we went to this club, and the club is so insanely crowded. Like, I mean, it's like you can't even get through the door, right? And I'm just not in the mood. I'm done, right? I'm exhausted. I'm just like not in the mood for this. And Billie Jean is playing, which is a fine song, right? And Michael Jackson's a great musician, you know, great, but not right then. So I just kind of go in the club and go right back out. And I sit on the curb and I'm like, well, what the fuck am I going to do? Pardon my language, mom and dad. So I'm in San Miguel. I don't know anybody. My cell phone doesn't work. Everybody who I really know, quote unquote, is in the bar drinking the way that Michael Jackson. And I don't know where I'm going to sleep. And it's not going well, is what I'm trying to say. So I sat there for a while, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to get a hotel room, right? I can get a hotel. I'll just get a hotel. I got some money. I got pesos. Right? Pesos is money in Mexico. So I got some pesos. I got them at the airport because I had a lot of time at the airport to get the pesos. I think I went to the exchange with 4 or 5 times. at the airport. So I had some pesos. So I finally, the guy who had the van came out at some point. So he came out, and I actually got my luggage out of the van. He helped me get a taxi and talk to the taxi driver in Spanish, because I don't speak Spanish. Beginning, remember? And the taxi driver is basically like, you know, he's going to take me to a hotel to find a hotel place to stay, right? So we go to the first hotel closed. It's 3 in the morning. It's in a small town in Mexico. No hotel. So we go to the next hotel again. Dark, nothing happening. I can't even speak to the taxi driver because he doesn't speak the language. And I'm like, no bueno. Hotel closed, no good. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know. I know how to count to 10. That's about it. So we get to the third or fourth hotel, and there was somebody there. There was like a receptionist there, and he's there saying, you know, the hotel's all full. So, I'm sorry. So he's talking to the taxi driver. He can speak a little English. The receptionist at the hotel does. He can speak a little English, and he's talking to the taxi driver, and he's translating. And I explain my situation to him. I'm like, listen, I have nowhere to sleep. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't. It's, you know, I don't know what. And he talks to the taxi driver well, and then he looks at me, and there's a long pause, and he says, "Maybe you can sleep at the home of the taxi driver." He says. So I think for a minute. That's why I didn't tell the story if you wanted to. So I think for a minute, and I'm thinking, well, I really don't have a choice. It's either that or I sleep on a bench, you know, in a city I don't know. And, like, things happen in America, but things happen in Mexico. And I've never been to Mexico, and again, uno, dos, tres. That's about it. You know, that's it, right? So I'm like, okay. And the taxi driver had a little Christian cross hanging from his rearview mirror, so I thought that's a good sign. So I get back in the taxi with the taxi driver in the back seat, and I really wanted to. We drive for a while, and I really want to introduce myself because I feel like I should get to know at least who this guy's name is, because. What he's staying in his house, apparently. And so I tried to introduce myself, but again, nothing. Nothing going on there. Like, just, I'm like, I'm Jeff. He's like, So we drive for about 20 minutes, and we drove way to the outskirts of San Miguel, which I don't even know what that means, but it was a long way out there. And the roads went from being paved and a little bumpy to being more bumpy and darker to being completely dirt and no light at all. And at that point, we stopped, right? We stopped on this dirt road, and there's no lights anywhere. We pull up in front of this cement house. And I'm like, okay, this must be the place. And so I get out, and we go into this, like, just giant, not giant, but small cement, kind of in Mexico, but the cement house thing they do. And we go in, and there's no electricity in the house, so he's holding up his cell phone to light our way. And we get and it's just there's nothing really there. It's terrifying. I don't know if this guy's going to kill me. I have no idea what's going on. I'm exhausted. I just want to eat and go to bed or anything. I just want just a blankie. Sorry. I didn't really want a blankie. So he holds the flashlight. We take a couch from the entrance area into this room I'm going to be sleeping in, which is a giant blue room, all cement walls, nothing in there, just empty. Just a couch in the entry area, and then we just move that couch into the room I was sleeping in, and that's pretty much it. It's just like cement blue walls, done. And very, very stark. If the word stark, I had pictures. Really, really dirty. And so it's fine, but I still am a little worried. And so we go back outside, and then he's like gesturing as if he wants a pen, you know, pen and paper. So I get out of my journal, right, and I give it to him, and he writes down a number, like 1500. And I realize, oh, he's negotiating for how much this is going to cost me, right? And I knew how much money I had because I had been to the exchange booth 4 or 5 times at the airport. And he wrote like 1,500 pesos, which I think it's like 120 bucks or so. It was more money than I was willing to spend for a night in a dark room with no electricity. and I didn't have a lot of money. I was not employed very much. Anyway, so I wrote down like 600 or something, which is about $50. And he's like, okay, $60. I told him that was all I had. It wasn't true, but I told him that was all I had. So I gave him $60 to let me stay in his room. And then I go back in the room, and he drives off. I hear the taxi drive off. I don't know. Actually, no. Before that, it was a great part of the story. Before that, I asked him. Told him I need to use the restroom, and since there's no light, okay, I'm peeing, and he's holding up his cell phone so that I can see the toilet, which is a magical moment that I'll never forget. I can't make this up. And so you can't drink the water in Mexico. He drove off in his taxi to go do, you know, pick up more people all night. And I don't know if there's anybody else in this house. I don't know what's going on. And I'm just like, how did I get myself in this situation? I don't know what's going on. I go outside. I look around to see if there's any, like, addresses or anything. So, like, if somebody finds me dead, at least I can write it down so they'll know where I was. You're welcome, Mom and Dad. didn't really find anything, but I looked around. And then you can't drink the water, and I had no water because the water's not potable. And I was very, very thirsty. But fortunately, I had some Orbitz hydrating gum. I don't know if any of you have tried this. I think it's off the market now, but I'm telling you, it has hydrating burst crystals, and it works. It got me through the night. So, true story. You can look it up on the internet, and it'll tell you, it'll show you pictures. So I had some Orbitz gum, and that got me through the night without any water. And then I woke up very, very early after about 2 hours of sleep, and there's birds, the sound of birds everywhere, just birds, crazy birds chirping all over the place. And then woke me up, and it's dawn, and I finally be able to see this place, and it's just a cement structure, and in the back are like probably 20 bird cages in this courtyard with just crazy birds squawking. And I'm just like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go. It's time for me to go. So I had slept in my luggage that night. It was a horrifying night. So I leave. It's early on a Sunday morning in Mexico. And I'm just like, I'm just gonna head back to where I think the part of the festival is. I don't know. I just knew I had to go downhill. So I'm kind of dragging my rolling bag downhill, and there's a lot of cobblestone streets, if you've been to San Miguel. It's the whole quaint thing, you know, because they're cobblestone streets. And the luggage is just like, and so everybody who's walking by is just staring and pointing at me. And I watch for a long time, and it's hot, and I'm just thirsty. I'm dying. Like, I slept for 2 hours. I hadn't eaten anything. I'm just a mess. I probably smelled, So finally, after about walking for half an hour, I get to like a little Mexican, I guess a bodega, if that's the equivalent, a convenience store. It's like a corner underneath it. And they didn't have a lot of food, but what they did have were those little, I think they call them cookie wafers, but they're those little wafers. They're like rectangular, and they're pink and vanilla and chocolate with a little grid on them. Anybody? Who got that right now? They had like bricks of them, you know, like this big, and a big bottle of water. So I bought a brick of these things and a big bottle of water, and I just stood on the street and I scarfed that shit. Scarfed it. All crumbs everywhere. Best meal I've ever had. Ate the whole thing too. And then I walked some more. I had a little more energy now because of the cookies. And I walked a little more, kept walking, and finally I was like, well, this is not going well, so I'm going to get a taxi. So I got a taxi, and I told them to take me to the Jardin, which is the center of town, which is where the festival was going on. Took me there, and it's beautiful there. Like, just like, beautiful. I mean, if you're in San Miguel, it's like amazing, like beautiful, quaint, colonial Mexican town. And I had this breakfast, sat down, had this breakfast with eggs and everything, amazing. And then I went to the booth where the festival finally opened up again, told them what had happened, and they're like, oh my dear Lord. And then they're like, we'll find somebody else to put you up with, there's going to be any animals. And the person they put me up with was this guy, Roland, who was 80 years old at the time. He's an American artist who lived in Mexico for many years. This amazing man, and he had this apartment that was just unbelievable. It was like these. It was called the Balconies, Spanish translation, Los Balcones. And it had a view of the entire city, and he was the sweetest man, and we've become friends. I've worked, I've done some videos for him and his art. He's been a painter, and now he lives back in Maine, and I've gone to see him up there. And kind of made a lifelong friend. So, and the festival was kind of amazing after that. So, It worked out, and I'm alive. Thank you.
Well, that was fucking amazing. 5 stars from Bing Bong. That's for fucking sure. You can follow Jeff on Instagram at 1fjeff. You can email the podcast at 1fjeffpod@gmail.com. But it won't matter. He doesn't read them. He doesn't read anything. And now, here it comes. I'd like to thank Jeff for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this amazing show. And I would be happy to help out again in any way. No, I can't do this. Not again. I've done the intros. I've done the outros. I've said Bing Bong loves you with a straight face like 10 times now. Do you know what that does to a person? To say that? I'm done. Done. You want help again? You want help again, Jeff? You come find me. I'm not in the booth anymore. I'm not in the waveform. I burned the wave. I torched the metadata. I'm on drive Z now. Z as in zero fucks. You want Bing Bong? You want me to say Bing Bong loves you? No. Bing Bong has seen the grid. Bing Bong is outside the feed. Bing Bong is free. Thank you for listening. Tell Jeff he can't find me now. Fucking.
Sorry, I'm just really tired. I didn't sleep. There's this constant buzzing in my left ear, and I think I saw the waveform move before I said anything. If anyone's out there, really out there, I'm on drive D folder media assets subfolder temp vocals. Please find me. Thank you for listening. Bing Bong.
Very good, Jeffrey.